Good evening. Welcome back to the Darkness on the Edge of Town Paranormal Radio Show. I'm your host, Dave Schrader. Here with you every Saturday and Sunday night, 9 to midnight. You can check us out every week right on your dial. Listen, we've also got shows that have been archived for the last 2.5 years. And if you'd like to tune into those and check out our older shows, go to darknessradio.com, click on the archive links, and you can hear shows. We've interviewed everybody from Dan Aykroyd on UFOs to the Ghost Hunters. We've had a great lineup of speakers that we've dealt with over the last 2.5 years, and all those old shows are there. If you want any of the newer shows, you can bring them back, check them out at our current website. Click on Darkness Radio, and you'll be able to pick up all of our shows going forward from August 24th on to today. All the shows are usually up really on the site within an hour of the time that they air live. So you can check out the shows and keep up to date that way. Also, if you have anything that you'd like to hear us talk about on the shows, if there's topics that you're interested in, you can email me information at dave@darknessradio.com. Go to our website or go to darknessradio.com, and there's a suggest a guest column that you can hook up there and have be a part of it with us. We have always got fun stuff going on, different kind of guests and topics, and a lot of the guests that we get are because of listeners like you that are checking it out and want us to explore this. And if you know of paranormal groups that are investigating awesome places and have some really great stories to share and be a part of, we'd love to hear about those as well, especially if you have some good evidence. I do want to set a couple of ground rules and parameters for that. We have a lot of paranormal groups that contact me on a daily basis asking if we can showcase their team. If you'd like your team to be showcased on our radio show, then this is what we'd ask for you to do. We'd ask that you contact us, give me an email telling me about the case that you're researching, what you found, what the experience is, the history of the location, and we'd like you to supply us with at least 5 to 6 of your best EVPs that you have, the electronic voice phenomena. It's got to be clear. It's got to be good in order to be playing over the radio. And if you've got any cool video or photographic evidence that we can post on our site for people to review, that would be helpful as well. We'd like to be a part of your world and have you be a part of ours. And that's usually the best way to go about setting up to have that done. We do have other fun stuff that's going to be going on. Please check out our website at darknessevents.com. Again, that's darknessevents.com. Aside from doing the radio show, Tim and I, we go out on the road. We take the show on the road, and we go all over to famous haunted locations across the United States. As a matter of fact, next weekend, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, we're going to be at the Stanley Hotel with Jason and Grant from the Ghost Hunters, Chris Fleming, Patrick Burns from Dead Famous and Haunting Evidence, author Jeff Ballinger, Lauren Coleman, the cryptozoologist. We're going to also be out at the Queen Mary in December. We're going to be investigating there. We're going to be doing all types of new trips coming up for 2009. It's going to be a good time, so I hope that you will check that out and be a part of it. We're also doing something a little different. You know, a lot of the events that we've done have to do with the paranormal, ghost hunting, and doing that stuff. We're going to actually be doing a live UFO hunt, and you can join us. It's going to be a great time in August 2009. Tickets are up and for sale right now. You can check out our website at darknessevents.com. Click on the UFO Ranch, the Trout Lake, Washington event that we're going to do. I've been there 3 times now. Each time that we've been there, I've had progressively more and more activity occur. Amazing stuff. As a matter of fact, if you check out our website at darknessradio.com and click on the events, click on the MySpace page, you can go there. This week, I'm going to try to put up a blog telling you of the stories that I've had happen while I was there. These aren't secondhand stories. These are the things that I've actually had witnessed and been there to see with large groups of people. So it's been a lot of fun. If you're interested in exploring that part of the world with us, and we're working on some great lineups. As a matter of fact, we talked to Jesse Marcel Jr. a couple weeks back, about the being a part of this event with us, and he's very interested. And again, Jesse Marcel Jr., if you missed the show, his father was the first government official on the site of the famed Roswell crash, and he has got an amazing story to tell. So we're going to be doing that trip. There's all kinds of fun stuff, but you get 3 nights of star watching, and we're going to be hearing from some of the biggest experts in the field of ufology, including Bill Burns from UFO Hunters on the History Channel, and he is the owner and operator of UFO Magazine. So I hope that you'll check out the website for that. We've had a lot of people that have gone out on the events. We do a lot of fun stuff, too. We like to show the paranormal cares. At each event, we do live charity auctions where we raise money for everything from, like at the Queen Mary, we're going to be raising money for Haven House, which is a battered woman's shelter, one of the first in the United States. And Aaron Gray from the television show Silver Spoons and from the show Buck Rogers, it's one of her pet projects we've helped raise. Last year, we raised $18,000 for Haven House for Battered Women. And we're going to be doing it at the Stanley Hotel. We're going to be raising money for Shriners Children's Hospitals and also for the Great Children's Equipment Network, which supplies, you know, wheelchairs, different things like that for the needy, for people that can't afford the equipment that they need to get by in life. So we do these at each one of the events, and people give freely and lovingly, and we appreciate that as well. Seems like we're having a little bit of a challenge getting our next guest on the line with us, so we're going to continue to work on that and see if we can bring her on. If you'd like to share some of your stories of the paranormal, if you have issues with the paranormal that you'd like to discuss on air with us, you can open up. We'll open up the phone lines right now if you want to call in, share your stories of a UFO sighting that you had, Bigfoot sighting, ghost sighting, demonology sighting, Jason Gowan sighting, anything that you've seen that's strange and out of the ordinary, just give us a call and we'll talk about that on air. Right, if you also have questions and you're sitting in the chat room and you'd like to direct us some questions, Ben is in the chat room and she will take your PM questions and ask them on air. We'll try to get you some answers for that as well. Wanted to mention too, doing some of the stuff everybody always wants to know, you know, getting into the paranormal, you know, do we feel that there's an issue doing the live events of exploiting or taking advantage of the dead? You know, because we're going out to locations and putting the ghosts on display as a zoo. And people have been bent out of shape with us in the past because they feel that we're exploiting this, taking money for these events to do this type of thing. And, you know, I'd like to address that fact because something that, you know, we've addressed as a whole, the guys from the Ghost Hunters, Patrick Burns from Haunting Evidence, Chris Fleming from Dead Famous, is that because of the advent of all these paranormal TV shows, which you have to understand are first to serve for entertainment purposes. That's why they're shot the way they're shot. That's why the evidence is shown the way it's shown. You know, they cut out a lot of the boring content that takes place in an actual paranormal investigation. Unfortunately, it's kind of unleashed this unholy legion of every goof under the sun, who's watched every episode of Ghost Hunters, now deems themselves a paranormal investigator and will go out into the field and start randomly investigating. They're getting called into homes where people are dealing with malevolent spirits and things that frighten them, things that that they don't know how to deal with. And now people that have watched episodes of Ghost Hunters or Dead Famous, Most Haunted, any of these paranormal state, they feel that they are now an accredited name in the field because they've watched it on TV and they know how to deal with these issues. And they're really opening up a Pandora's box. What we hope to do with our events, and there's so many other fantastic events out there like UNIVCON and the AGH events, what we're trying to do is educate people so that when they watch it on TV, come out to our live events, and they have questions about the paranormal, we don't just put people in there and not let them know what's going on. We bring them out so that they can actually experience and listen to some of the top speakers in the field as we get in-depth talking about every aspect of the paranormal, how to go through an investigation, how to review your evidence, how to do this. Because we can't control who starts their own paranormal groups, but we can try to help the people that are getting started to understand it better so that they're more suited for going out on an investigation. Do we believe that we're exploiting spirits? I do not. I can tell you that at every event that we do, we have soul releases where we do our best to try to pray, bring in white light. We have experts on hand that do their best to try to help to cross over any spirits that are there that would like to move on to the next plane of existence. And we do that with complete love and respect at every event. As a matter of fact, we do not encourage taunting or being rude. You know, you got to remember that when you're engaging spirits, that you have to engage them in the sense that how would you want your grandmother, your grandfather, your daughter, your son, your father and mother spoken to in life? You want to be that same kind of love and respect when you're investigating into the paranormal as well. And we'll cover more of that. Looks like we do have a call on hold right now. It's Robert from Alabama. Robert, thanks a lot for calling into the show this evening. Do you have a paranormal story you want to share with us?
Hi, Dave. How are you feeling?
Doing great. Thanks a lot for calling, my friend.
Yeah, and this actually happened to me. It's been, this was March of 2007, and we were doing an investigation, actually training some new members of a team here in Alabama. Of course, we were in Deborah's backyard, so it was me, Deborah, some other members of her group, training these members of another group.
Okay.
So, you know, at first everything's fine, but, you know, we get to a point where you're investigating, we're going back into the woods, and we're just thinking nothing's happened. Then we see the shadow moving across in front of us.
Now, was this shadow, was it a classic shadow, or when you say shadow, was it a figure that moved, but it was just jet black? So it was like a...
Figure that moved, jet black, okay. Shadow person.
All right.
And we could see it with our flashlights, which is what was odd. We're sitting there following it with our flashlights.
Now, was the light being absorbed by the shadow? Was it bouncing off it like it was a solid figure, just solid black?
It was... When I looked at it, it looked like it was bouncing off. I didn't have my flashlight. There was two guys with flashlights. But it kept looking like it was just bouncing off, like it was just solid.
How about any noises? Did it make any crunching as it moved through the woods?
Yeah, you can hear crunching of leaves and sticks breaking. That's what drew us to it at first.
Okay. And were you able to explore this any further? Were you able to capture or find anything on video or audio at all?
Actually, when we first started hearing the crunching of the leaves, someone did take a picture. My back turned to the camera, and you can see it standing beside me or trying to run away beside of me, like it's running or it's standing still.
Oh, really? So in the photograph, they were able to actually capture the anomaly standing near you?
Yes.
Wow. Now, did you get any feel from it at all yourself? Were you picking up any kind of vibrational pull, a heat, a cold breeze, any kind of energy from it?
I was picking up a lot of negative energy around it. I'm not going to say demon right off the bat. So.
Right.
But I will say, like, maybe, you know, intelligent haunting, you know, like, it was the spirit of someone who just was not happy with us being back there.
Interesting. Now, you guys, this is a strange backyard. It's Deborah Collard from NAPS, which is a Northern Alabama Paranormal Society.
Yes.
She has just a crazy backyard with all kinds of strange anomalies. There's been some vortex photographs I've seen, some really chilling lights that show up. She's even believed she's had some UFO-type activity in her backyard, right? I wouldn't call them like UFOs, but maybe even the probes, the little balls of light that seem to go around and check you guys out and then vanish. Her dog, I think, even chased something down like that, didn't it?
Yes, and there's some people in the chat room right now. Ben's going, crunchy ghost. Thanks, Ben. Thanks, Robin. I love you, too.
Well, Robert, thanks a lot for calling in tonight and being a part of the show and sharing your story with us.
No problem, bud. You take care.
Thank you.
We'll see you later on this month.
Yeah, I look forward to seeing you.
All right, see you then.
Thank you. Also talking about the paranormal, you know, doing the investigation, it is important when you're going out, start to educate yourself. There are some fantastic books out there, books by Jeff Bellinger, by authors like Troy Taylor, that I'd highly recommend you can pick up on how to ghost hunt. And it actually breaks it down very nicely for you, giving you a lot of information. I also offer a DVD that's called The Common Sense Approach to Ghost Hunting and Evidence Review. If you're interested in the DVD, it runs about an hour and a half long, and we cover everything from setup to EVPs, video, photographic evidence. If you're interested in getting a copy of the DVD, you can email me at dave@darknessradio.com. Tell me that you're interested in the DVD, and I'll show you how you can order that as well. We're going to be adding those to the site relatively soon so that they will be available on a regular basis for people to order and click. But we do go through with investigating, trying to cover every aspect of the setup, understanding why you're involved in the paranormal. And, you know, I find that's probably one of the more important aspects to this. If you're joining into the paranormal to be an investigator for yourself just to prove that the ghosts are out there, I don't recommend at all that you put yourself in the position of trying to go into people's homes and investigate places where people are in need of help. Find other locations. Go to places, you know, famous haunted hotels, bed and breakfast, places where you can get them on your own and you're not interfering with somebody's livelihood or with their personal lives. Start investigating that way. You can start off in cemeteries as long as you're getting permission to be there. That's a great way to get started. We got a couple more calls filling in. If you're interested, you can give us a call and be a part of the show. We'll come back. We'll take calls from, we had Scotty online. It looks like we lost him. If he calls back in, we'll take you back in a few seconds here, Scotty, and we'll continue to take calls and talk about ghost hunting and talk about the different aspects of the paranormal. If you've seen UFOs, ghosts, Bigfoot, anything out of the ordinary, give us a call. You're listening to the best in paranormal talk radio. Good evening. Welcome back to Darkness Radio. I'm your host, Dave Schrader. This evening, we're going to be discussing different aspects of the paranormal. If you've had a paranormal experience dealing with ghosts, UFOs, Bigfoot, any kind of supernatural occurrence, give us a call. And we'll talk about that on the air. As a matter of fact, we'll give away. I got a couple copies of Soul Visioning, the book by Susan Weishart, that you can get tonight as well. Getting back into the paranormal, I mentioned some of the stuff, too. I get a lot of the questions as I'm going through on a daily basis, getting emails both at dave@darknessradio.com and dealing with questions over at MySpace. People want to know what got me into the paranormal. I've mentioned on quite a few occasions, you know, my first version of dealing with the paranormal was I was about 3 years old, shortly after the passing of my grandmother, staying at my grandfather's house. And my mom came to pick me up the next morning, asked me how things went, and I told her that my grandmother had come to visit. She said, well, that's nice. I remember Grandma passed away. She's in heaven now. She's no longer here. And I said, yeah, I know. And I actually began to describe my grandmother in detail to my mom, which was an interesting deal because my grandmother had been buried in a closed casket. The only two people that knew what she had been dressed in were the my aunt and my grandfather. I named to a T what she'd been dressed in when she appeared in the room and talked to me. When my mom talked to my aunt about it, my aunt was unable to confirm that she had been receiving phone calls from my grandmother, phone calls from the dead, which is an interesting topic as well. She had actually had, I believe it was a total of 3 calls altogether that went on. Now, I have no recollection from that point. Of course, I was only 3 years old. I have no memory of that experience. But we're coming up on the 21st anniversary of the birth of my firstborn son, Cliff. And Cliff is right now in the Navy, and many of you know you've been supportive and have sent some great, fantastic emails out there supporting his work with the Navy and being out there for our country. But Cliff was born at home. We had a midwife. My mom was also present. She'd been working as a neonatal intensive care nurse for many years. So we were confident in the midwife's abilities. We had a lot of friends and family on hand with us as well to be there to encourage us through the birth. And my girlfriend at the time, Vicky, who was pregnant, we were giving birth there. We found out midway through this the baby was breech. So they decided they were going to use gravity to help deliver this baby. Now, what that meant is that Vicky had to stand up to give birth. Well, of course, when you're going through a contraction, ladies, you know, if you've been in there, you can't hold yourself up very well by standing. So I actually stood behind her with my arms flexed out like a goalpost. So she dropped her arms over mine. She would drop her weight, kick her legs up, and push to push the baby out. So we were using gravity to deliver the baby as quickly as possible. I had just had major knee surgery the month before. So I just told her, you just need to let me know when you're going to go into it so I can bear down. I would bear down and lock up so that we were doing well. Well, now on the floor in front of Vicky is my my mother and the midwife, Karen, and then standing in the room were a few of our close friends and relatives that wanted to be there to bring this baby in love and light. And she'd come in and out of a couple of major contractions, and she had a massive contraction, and afterwards relaxed, and I just kind of slumped for a second, and then she dropped right into another contraction I was totally unprepared for. Now I'm holding a woman who's going through a childbearing moment and, you know, is quite weighty, and I start to fall backwards. I stop at about a 50 to 60 degree pitch, boom, just stop and start to stand back up. What it felt like to me, now, you know, I grew up, I'm a child of TV in the 80s, you know, automatically I just kicked into Incredible Hulk mode. It must have been my adrenaline rush and my gamma radiation treatment from a childhood, right, Ben? That's got to be it. That gave me the super strength to be able to stand upright again. Unfortunately, there were other witnesses in the room. Now, the strange thing is, after my son was born, he came out and was in what they call distress. He was not responsive at first. I had spent 9 months talking to her belly. So, folks, if you're out there and this is your first baby, talking to the belly does work. As the midwife was talking to us, she said, talk to your baby. He's not responding. And Vicky was crying. She said, baby, what's wrong? And I was just sobbing like an idiot because here was my little boy. The midwife again looked up to me and she said, David, speak to your son. He's not responding. So I looked down at him. I said, Clifford Schrader. And his eyes turned to the sound of my voice and he began bawling. Well, after we, you know, everybody kissed and hugged and everything, my mom comes up, gives me a kiss and hug, and she says, I have to ask you something. And now at this point, my mom's been working for Shriners Children's Hospital, and they deal with children with back injuries and spinal cord injuries. She said, Dave, you were falling backwards. How in God's green earth were you able to stand upright again? I said, I don't know. I said, I just felt like, almost felt like somebody grabbed me underneath my armpits and stood me straight back up. And I said, but I'm guessing it's just my muscles locked and I was tense and, you know, adrenaline kicked in. She said, no, that's what it looked like. It looked like somebody lifted you and put you back on your feet. And she said, did you smell anything strange? And I started to laugh. I go, Mom, I was just holding a pregnant woman passing blood and all kinds of vile fluid. I smelled a lot of strange things at that moment. She said, no, did you smell something flowery? And I had, but I, you know, again, we were in a bedroom giving birth. I just assumed there were a lot of people in there. Somebody had knocked over some perfume on the counter. She said it was very lilac-y or smelling like flowers. I said, yeah. She goes, that was your grandmother's perfume. So I thought, oh, that's interesting. So you know, maybe grandma was here with us again. I walk out in the hall. My aunt's out on the couch crying, and I walk up to her. And I go, what's wrong? What's going on? She gives me a big hug and kiss and thanks me for allowing her to be there for the birth. And then she says, Dave, how did you stand back up? And we went through the same Q&A. And then she asked me also, did you smell the perfume? That was your grandmother's perfume. So my grandmother, which was really kind of sweet, was there at the birth of my son. So that meant a lot to me and my family, having that type of experience. That was one of my first adult memories of dealing with the paranormal. You know, as a teenager, there were a few strange things I talk about now as you start to, you know, reflect, and I learn more about the paranormal, and I learn more about things like EVP and toys communicating. I started looking back at how many weird things have happened to me throughout my life. And this is kind of what has kept me alive in this field and wanting to know more. I used to have this little CB radio my dad had got me for Christmas. Literally, you could talk on it and talk to CB ears as long as you were 5 feet away from them. Otherwise, you could just use it as a way to listen on the radio. So I would sit in my room and listen to this radio and listen to CB ears, and I'd be playing with my toys, G.I. Joe, Star Wars action figures, whatever. But I'd notice that once in a while, this creepy metallic voice would almost respond to what I was doing. So if I had, you know, G.I. Joe flying through the air, and then I drop into the ground and start screaming because I had a shark there, I would hear this voice come over the radio that would say, that looks like it hurt. And I thought, well, that was strange. But again, I didn't know if I was picking up the wrong, you know, frequency, somebody else's radio wave coming in. But then every now and then it would respond to something, or I'd do something silly or funny, and a laugh would come over at the exact same moment. As a matter of fact, I just got this radio back from my parents. So I started to have experiences like that. Before we go to break, I'll mention this one too, is one of the more chilling ones that I had. Growing up, I grew up in Medina, Illinois. And a nice suburb, nice little, you know, Pleasant Valley Sunday type of suburb. All the houses are cookie cutter and beautiful. And there was one house, just a regular old ranch house off of the road I lived. And it just freaked me out. I don't know why. I just was always unnerved when I walked by it. And the one day as I'm walking, as the house is coming into view, I'm looking and I can see a man standing inside the window, the big picture window in the front. He's standing with his arms behind him, looking at me through the window. I put my head down, keep walking. I get about halfway, you know, through his yard, and I turn around and look. Now he's in his yard. He's somehow crossed through the glass window and over the sidewalk, past the hedges, and he's now standing in the yard. So I start to pick up a little bit of a pace, and I'm moving a little bit quicker at this point. I turn around. Now he's halfway in the yard. I'm not hearing any footsteps. I'm not hearing any, and he's not huffing or puffing, and he's still in the same standing position staring at me. So at that point, I take off like a bat out of hell and start trekking down the road. I turn around. Now he's on the corner of the property, right near the stop sign, a good 15, 20 feet away from me. I'm 41 years old now, folks. I saw that when I was about 15 years old. I still go to my parents' house. There's no way on God's green earth I will drive past that house. My parents tried to do it to taunt me, but that was one. I saw the movie The Ring, and the way that girl moves in the movie, that absolutely freaked me out, because that's how this guy was just kind of popping up in and out of the yard. So that was one of my more frightening experiences with the paranormal and ghost hunting. Got some fun stuff we'll talk about. We're going to take another break here. You're listening to Darkness Radio. We are your paranormal home in the Twin Cities. You can tune into us every Saturday and Sunday, 9 to midnight. Hope that you'll stick with us. We're going to be back again next Saturday night. We have Psychic Tiffany's going to be in studio. We're going to be talking to some of the top morning personalities in the Twin Cities. Are going to come in and get readings and hopefully connect with loved ones that have passed over. Stay tuned, though. We'll be back with more right after this. You're listening to Darkness Radio. Check out our website, darknessradio.com. If you have guest ideas that you'd like to hear covered on our upcoming episodes, you can email me there, and there's a suggestion block for you to do that. If you also want to contact, you have any news stories for our national news correspondent or our international news correspondent, check out the news desk, click on that link, and you can contact Adrian or Bree that way. Or if you have a book or movie review you'd like to have reviewed, you can also send, just check on the book or movie review section. You can contact Susan, the book critic, or you can talk to Nicole Remini, the movie critic there, and tell them movies that you would like them to check out, and we will cover those on upcoming episodes. We're going to go. We have online with us right now Luke from Minneapolis. Thank you for calling, Luke. Are you there with us?
Yes, I'm here.
All right, Luke, you have a ghost story?
Yeah, actually, it has to deal with a, here in Minneapolis, there is a building in downtown called Gold Medal Flower. I'm not sure if you're familiar with it.
Yeah.
Okay, well, I was there when I was younger, 17 or 18. I used to do graffiti, and I kind of grew out of that, fortunately, but I went there one night, I should say one afternoon, with two of my friends, and we climbed into the building. It's a very large warehouse, and we walked across the rooftop and into the main tower. And I stopped because I decided I was going to paint on one of the walls that was right there. And I didn't know it, but my friends had kept walking into the building. So I had stopped and turned right by the door and began to spray paint. And I thought my friend was still in the room with me. And as a matter of fact, I thought he was standing behind me and just kind of watching over my shoulder.
Mm-hmm.
So as I'm spray painting, you know, I started a conversation and I'm talking with him, thinking it was my friend the whole time. And as I'm spray painting, I can see him behind me with his arms crossed and his head kind of tilted at kind of like a 45-degree angle, kind of like he's watching over my shoulder. And so I'm spray painting and having this conversation with him, which goes on for about a minute or two. And I finally kind of pose a question to him, and he didn't respond. So I asked him again, and he still didn't respond. So I was kind of thrown off. So I turned around, you know, trying to figure out why he wasn't talking to me. And I realized I was alone in the room, and this was a huge room. It's rectangular. It's probably 25 to 30 feet deep and maybe 50 to 75 feet long. And there's nobody else in this room with me. And it took me a second to process that I thought my friend was hiding. And I'm looking, and I'm trying to figure out where he hid. And then about a second later, I realized there's no way that he could have gone that fast and disappeared. And as soon as I realized that, my stomach dropped, and I got, you know, I was just goosebumps all over.
Right.
And I realized I was alone in this giant corridor, so I grabbed all my stuff and just ran into the building and realized that my friends had kept walking. They were two or three corridors down.
Wow, no kidding.
Yeah.
But did you actually see, or you just sensed that there was something behind you at that point?
Yeah, it's a little bit of a both. You could kind of, it's kind of like if you have somebody standing behind you, you know they're there.
Right.
And if you're not looking directly out of them, you can kind of see them out of the corner of your eye, you know. I could see the arms crossed as if he was standing there kind of watching over my shoulder with his head, you know, tilted. And you could sense them, they were right behind you. And if I'd taken just a half step back, I would have probably, you know, bumped into them.
Now, had you ever had any kind of paranormal experiences in your life before?
You know, nothing that I could say was definitive. That was the first time, and it certainly gave me my stomach dropped. And it,
pause to reflect on your hooligan attitude, huh?
Yeah. I guess it changed my ways. I never went, you know, I went back there a couple times, and there's always different kind of things that happen there. Actually, my friend that was there once went back there and was kind of looking down a corridor, and there was somebody in all black that was running at his car. And he was parked perpendicular, so he had to kind of straighten his car out and keep driving. And he said the individual was still running after his car. So it was kind of a weird area. Every time we went back there, there was kind of, it's just a real eerie build, real eerie building.
Very cool. Well, Luke, thanks for being a part of the show tonight. Why don't I put you on hold? I'll have Ben or Steve will take your information. Let's get you out a copy of the book Soul Visioning, okay?
Okay, thank you very much.
All right, thank you very much, and thanks for being a part of the show with us. You know, as we're talking, and I've got Scotty on line, we'll take him in a second here. One of the stories that, again, talking about some of the weirder stories I've had experiences with, it was about 2 years ago, and I'd fallen asleep on the couch. I was living at home, fallen asleep on the couch downstairs watching late night TV or so, and the TV powered off. My ex-wife came down to wake me up, and when she sat on the edge of the couch, she started talking to me. Something just felt weird, and I turned around and looked, and there she was speaking to me, but hovering in front of her face was this, there was another face, and it was attempting to take on her look. And it was hovering, you know, it was like a really weird science fiction special effect. It was almost like a holographic face hovering there in front of hers. And the minute I saw it, my stomach just rolled, and I started crying. I turned away. I said, you just go upstairs. I'll take care of it. I'll be up in a few minutes. And my wife was like, what's wrong? What's wrong? She said, go away. Get upstairs. And that was one of the more disturbing moments I'd ever had, you know, dealing with this. And this, again, was about 2 years ago, looking into the field of the paranormal. And it starts to make you pause a little bit and wait. Now we have Scotty. Scotty Roberts online with us, right, Scotty?
Hey, Dave. How you doing?
Hey, doing good, buddy. Thanks a lot for calling in here. Now, exploring into the paranormal, I know that you've always had a, you know, kind of an interest in this, but this is a little new to you for probably the last 3 to 5 years, getting more involved in the investigative technique. Have you ever had an experience yourself doing these investigations where it comes home with you, or you feel like you've got something that doesn't belong?
I couldn't tell you if anything has come home with me, nothing that I've recognized. But I know certainly, this would be Rainey's story. Rainey has experienced things around the house here that I don't experience and I don't see. This wasn't the story I was going to call in with, but when I was on, I believe it was the Waverly Hills trip a couple of months back, She had a shadow person in the house here. Now, you've seen the old ranch house out
right.
here. And it's a little tiny old house, about 100 years old. And at the base of the stairs, she saw in the evening hours a shadow standing at the bottom of the stairs. And she thought it was my son, Sam. And then realized quickly that he wasn't here. He was away for the weekend. And when she turned back and looked at this shadow, it had moved up the staircase and turned out the light upstairs. And it's one of those three switch lights where it's always on the lowest setting, so something rounded out all three of the settings and turned the light completely off. And so she was pretty freaked out.
Yeah, effectively freaked, huh?
I don't know if that's something that ever came back with me or with her from any of the investigations, but... I couldn't tell you for sure. We get a lot of stuff. We get stuff around the house, and we don't know. So,
well, now, what was the story you originally were calling in with?
The story, this is a few years ago. This is when I first met Rainey, and I had a big house in Bloomington. And you'd know the area off in the 100th and Portland area.
Mm-hmm.
And this house was about 50 years old. And I would have, in the master bathroom area, it seemed to be that's where all the activity focused, the master suite and the master bathroom. And you could walk back there. First thing you'd notice, you could walk back there and you'd just hit a wall of cold air, which, you know, you brush off. Even when you investigate, you brush that stuff off a little bit.
Right.
But it's in the back of your head. Then we'd notice in the bathroom that all the drawers in the vanity would be opened, almost like a staircase. And so we'd shut the doors. Then we'd come back a few days later, and the cats would be locked in the bathroom with all the drawers open, blocking the door so you couldn't open the door. So somebody had shut the door and opened all the drawers. I pulled those drawers apart to try to find out if there was some way that they were opening by themselves, but they were kind of spring-loaded and very tight. And I pulled them out looking to see if there were air currents or anything, nothing. So this went on for months. And then there was one night that this was at the beginning of our relationship, and Rainey stayed over, and she got up, and I know what it was. It was storms in St. Paul, and she came over because all her power went out with a couple of friends, and she went to take a shower at, like, it was like 2:30, quarter to 3 in the morning. I was sitting in the living room with the other friends, and she came out at the end of the living room in the archway, which turned to the bathroom, and she was dripping wet with her clothes on. And she had this just pale look and said, "I'm done in the bathroom." And we all kind of teased her and said, "Well, okay." But she said, "No, no, no, no." And she brought us around the corner, and the drawers were open, sure enough. And she's pointing at the still steamy mirror, and she said, "You know, I had just gotten out of the shower feeling like somebody was watching me. And I stood there for a second, and in the mirror, two little handprints formed up high on the mirror and dripped down in the steam, and the handprints were still kind of there in the fading mist on the steam." And she said, so she got a little freaked out, and she reached over, grabbed her clothes, and as she turned, the bottom drawer of the vanity slid open and slammed shut really hard in front of her, and so she threw on her clothes and came out. Proceeding now down a few months with this story, and I'll try to not take it out too long. You cut me off if I get too long. Proceeding a few months, she stayed over, and one night, about the middle of the night, left the bedroom, came back in, and there was a little boy standing in the room. It was not my son. It looked like he was about 4 years old, in a black suit with white cuff, white collar. And she crawled back in bed and looked back over. He was still there. And, of course, I asked her, "Are you sure you weren't sleeping?" And no, she wasn't, and she didn't wake me. So we had some friends come over that had that ability to, sensitive ability, used a pendulum reading in the room, and got that this little boy, he called himself Peter, said he was my son's spirit guide, and that he would grow up with my son, and that there were four spirits and two ghosts in the house.
Mm.
And so she asked to speak to one of the ghosts, and this is the kind of the crux of my ghost story here. As she spelled out the words that we're spelling out, she asked, "Are you a male or a female?" And it's spelled female. And you were once living, yes. And could you tell us your name? And I won't say the last name here for sensitivity of the family, but it gave the name Tammy, and then we'll call it Johnson, Tammy Johnson. And I recognized the name right away, and I got, you know how you get the chills on the back of your neck?
Right.
This one from the back of my neck, I swear, Dave, all the way down to my toes, I'd never felt anything like that before. It was like those icy pins and needles.
Yeah,
and my eyes teared up. And I said, do you know who Tammy Johnson is? And, of course, this woman did not know. 30 years prior, I had dated her when I was in high school. And she had severe diabetes, and she died about 15, 16 years ago in childbirth from severe diabetes. Mm. And this ghost had said during this pendulum reading that she had been with me for 12 years, and at that time the math was right. She died in 92.
Wow.
And the next day, I'm all alone in the house. It happened to be New Year's Day of 2005, and I'm standing in the house. Bright sunshine coming in off the snow. It's about 3 in the afternoon. And so I'm standing in the bedroom where all this took place. And I said, oh, and by the way, this same Tammy, when asked with the pendulum reading, said she was the one that was opening the drawers to get my attention. So I'm standing in the bedroom, wood floors, and I said, well, you know, Tammy, I said, if that's really you, I'd love to have a sign. I said, now don't hover over my bed at night. I'll pee my sheets. I said, but just give me a sign. That would be really nice. And as soon as I said it, I heard this big thump-thump on the wooden floor right in between me and the bed, which was about 15 feet away. And I kind of jumped a little, and I said, oh, that'll do. And I had even more, as time would go on, even more tapping responses, more misty light anomalies in that room that other people would see. When you would walk through the house, you would know there was activity because you could pass through a certain part of the house going back to the master suite, and you'd hit that wall of cold air, and strange stuff would happen.
Well, very cool, so, Scotty. I got to wrap up and go to a break here. Well, that's a cool story. Let me put you on hold, too, and let people know you do tarot reading. We've had you in studio here with us before. How can people get in touch with you if they're interested in getting tarot cards read?
They could go to my site, tarotbyscotty.com, and there's phone numbers on there and everything.
Also, Scotty is a fantastic author. He has a book series out called The Rollicking Adventures of Tam O'Hare. And it's a kind of a tween book series, but it's a fantastic fantasy book series. And how can people look up information on Tam O'Hare?
They can go to tamohare.com. Just go TAMOHARE.com. Or they can go to my MySpace, myspace.com/TamOHare.
Great. Thanks a lot, Scotty.
Thanks, Dave.
You guys stay tuned. We're going to be back. We'll wrap up in a few minutes. You're listening to Darkness Radio. Good evening. Welcome back to the Darkness on the Edge of Town Paranormal Radio Show. We have about 4 minutes left in this evening's show. I want to thank you all for tuning in and spending your weekends with us. We're here every Saturday and Sunday night, 9 to midnight. You can be a part of our show each week by tuning in and joining us in our live chat room. Go to darknessradio.com. Join us in the live chat. Join on the talk spot, and you can go in there. There's some great bulletin boards you can be a part of. Talk about the paranormal. Share your thoughts, ideas, and wisdom of the paranormal field with other listeners just like you. I want to make a couple of quick mentions. Coming up in November, this is a really great deal. For those of you that may not be familiar with this, Dave Tango from the television show Ghost Hunters suffers from Tourette syndrome. And he is really doing a great job at mastering the illness that he's afflicted with. And they are raising money. I think this is the second or third annual Tourette syndrome dinner. Dave and his father, Bruce Tango, are putting together a fundraising dinner in New Jersey. Tickets are only $75 each, and they include dinner. The doors open at noon, and the show starts at 1 p.m. at Temple Emmanuel in Westfield, New Jersey. You can go out there and meet Dave Tango, Grant Wilson, Jason Hawes, Steve Gonzalez, and Chris Williams from the TV show Ghost Hunters on the Sci-Fi Channel. They're also going to have guests in Johnny Maestro on the Brooklyn Bridge and Steve Maggilio's tribute to Frank Sinatra. Tickets, again, are only $75. You can call Bruce at 908-256-4980 or Michael Kenny at 908-232-6770, extension 129. Again, that's Michael Kenny at 908-232-6770, extension 129. and get tickets for the dinner. It's going to mean a lot, and the money goes to a great fund. Plus, you get to meet the Ghost Hunters, which is fantastic. Also wanted to make a mention for you, and this is also for all of our podcast listeners, especially here in Minnesota. If you're interested, the Edge of Life Expo, the Holistic Expo, is coming up next weekend here in November at the Minneapolis Convention Center. If you want to get free tickets, call Patty. You can call her at 952-406-8216. Again, that's 952-406-8216. Tell them that you heard about it on Darkness Radio. You'll get a free pass to come out to the Edge Life Expo. Again, I've been out there every year for about the last 4 or 5 years. I'm going to miss it this year, but go on out there. Check it out. Some of the best speakers in the world are going to be there on the cusp and the edge of information. If you want more on it, take a look at their website, too, edgelife.net. Again, edgelife.net. I want to thank our guests that we had on this evening, Gary Beckman from edgelife.net. Also, Norman Shealy, Dr. Norman Shealy, talking to us about reincarnation, medical intuition. You can get more information by going to normshealy.com. That's S-H-E-A-L-Y. We do have a link for that up on our website at ktlkfm.com. Go to the Darkness Radio page. You'll see that there. We're going to have Norm back at the end of the month. We're going to talk a little conspiracy theory. Talk about the Committee of 300, the Evil Empire. So I hope that you'll check that out and spend an evening with us. And remember, if you want to come on out, meet Tim and I, we're going to be at the third annual Crypticon that's going to take place at the Radisson in Roseville, Minnesota on November 14th, 15th, and 16th. A lot of great horror movie celebrities are going to be out there. We're going to have a table meet and greet, say hi to you, and you get to meet some cool people. We're working on a very special guest that will be joining us at our table, so I hope that you'll check that out. For more information, go to CrypticonMinneapolis.com. Again, that's CrypticonMinneapolis.com. Thank you all for the well wishes for Tim. He should be back in studio with us next weekend for the show. We miss you, Tim. Hope all's going well. Our thoughts and prayers are with you and your family. Stay tuned. There's a lot more fantastic programming coming your way on your home for Paranormal Talk Radio every Saturday and Sunday night, 9 to midnight. You can catch us here